Welcome back to Torah in Mecha Nach Yomi with OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mrs. Michal Horowitz. Today we are continuing our study of Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet. We're up to Perek Lamed Hei, chapter 35. So the Perek is divided into two different stories or narratives, if you will. We're actually going to be focusing on the second narrative. I had to choose because of time frame. So the first story in the Perek and Perek Lamed Hei is about the Korban Pesach under the reign of King Yoshiel. Remember, he's a very righteous king who restores and repairs the Beit HaMikdash. They find the Sefer Torah from the time of Moshe, if you recall, during his time. And when he hears the Kalos, they seek out Cholda Hanaviyah. She says, Galus is coming, but not under you. So Yoshiah was a very righteous king. The first part of the parak tells us about the Korban Pesach, but under Yoshiah, the whole nation brought in the correct time. I'll read you the first pasuk of Perek Lamed Hei. Vayas Yoshiah v'Yushalayim Pesach la'Hashem, and Yoshiah did in Yerushalayim the Korban Pesach ta'Hashem, v'yishchatu ha'Pesach ba'arba asar l'chodesh rishon. And the Korban Pesach was slaughtered en masse. The Kohanim and the Levim are doing their roles by the people and the priests and the Levites in the appropriate time. In the Beis HaMikdash on the 14th, Bein Arabayim, in the first month, which is Nisan, you look in the Perek, all the animals, so many animals, thousands of animals brought, slaughtered, and the people observed the Pesach like they are supposed to. I want to focus on the second half of the Perek in depth with you. So we begin in Pasuk Yud Tet, okay? Bishmona Esrei Shana L'Malchus Yoshiah, in the 18th year of the reign of King Yoshiah, Nasa Pasach Hazah, this Korban Pesach was made in the 18th year. After all this, Asher Heichin Yoshiah Sabayis, after Yoshiah prepared and restored the house, Ala Nicho Melech Mitzrayim Lehilachim Becharmish Al Paras. So Nicho, the king of Egypt, so Pharaoh Nicho, the king of Egypt, ascended to go up to battle at Charmish, and he's going to battle Al Pras by the Euphrates. Vayetzi the cross of Yoshiah. Yoshiah goes out to meet Paro Necho, the king of Egypt. Now, Rabbi Adin Steindos notes, Paro Necho did not intend to fight against Malchus Yehuda. He and his army were heading northwards from Egypt towards the Euphrates in order to do battle with the northern empires. In order to head north, they needed to pass through the territory of the kingdom of Yehuda. Yoshiah decided to stand in their way and block their progress. So that's all Pharaoh Necho wanted to do, head up through Malchus Yehuda on his journey north. However, King Yoshiah goes out to greet him, and Pharaoh Necho sends messengers, Malachim with an olive messengers, to Yoshiah, telling him, I'm not in a fight with you. Ma'ali v'lach melech Yehuda, there's nothing between me and between you, the king of Yehuda. Lo alacha ata hayam, I'm not coming against you today. I don't want anything to battle with you. Just let me pass through your land. Yoshiah did not listen, and he goes out to greet him. And at Megiddo, in the valley of Megiddo, Yoshiah goes out to fight Pharaoh Necho and his army, even though this was not a battle that had anything to do with him. He is shot by arrows, Yoshiah, and the king says to his servants, take me away from the battlefield, I am very sick, meaning I'm gravely injured. And they took him away and they put him into the second chariot that he had. They bring him back to Yerushalayim. Vayamat, Yoshiah dies. Vayikaver bekivras avosav, he is buried in the grave of his fathers, meaning the king's plot. V'chol Yehuda v'Yerushalayim misabim Yoshiah, and all of Judah and all of Yerushalayim are mourning for the righteous King Yoshiah. Pasuk chaf hey, vayikonein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiah, like from a kina, lamentation. Yirmiyahu lamented for Yoshiahu. Vayomu, kol hasharim v'hasaros bikino seim, all the princes and the princes and the officers said in their kinus and their lamentations al Yoshiah, about Yoshiah, until this day, vayitnum lechok al Yisrael, and they made it a law over Israel to lament and mourn for the death of King Yoshiah, again killed by Pharaoh Necho on the battlefield at Megiddo, even though Pharaoh Necho said, don't come out to me, I'm not battling with you. Vihine kisuvim al kinos, and Pastor Chavhe says, and behold, the lamentations for Yoshiah are written in the kinos. The parak ends by telling you the rest of the life and the words and the actions of Yoshiahu, like they are written in the Torah Sashem. He went in the way of God. Udvarav harishonim v'achronim, the early accounts and later accounts of his kingdom, they are written on the Sefer Malchai Yisrael v'Yehuda. So righteous King Yoshiahu has just died, and particularly I'm going to repeat Pasuk Chavhei again. Vayikonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu, Vayomu kol hasarim vahasaros, all the officers and the princes and the females and the males, bekinoseim in their kinos al Yoshiyahu adayom, vayitnum lechok al Yisrael, vihinem ksuvim al kinos. So what do we learn here? After Yoshiyahu was killed, Yirmiyahu established kinos, mourning, national mourning forever for Yoshiyahu. I now want to talk about in depth, and it's going to give us a lot more insight into King Yoshiyahu. I'm quoting from The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways, commentary of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, onto the kinos for Tisha B'Av. Listen carefully. Rav Soloveitchik says there is one final kina, the kinos, the poems of lamentations we read on Tisha B'Av in the morning before Chatzot. There is one final kina devoted to an individual. Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. That's the pasuk that we saw in our perek. There is a eulogy that Yirmiyahu delivered for King Yoshiyahu, who was killed in Megiddo. The verse says, and he quotes our pasuk from our parak, parak lamed hey, Yirmiyahu lamented over Yoshiyahu, and behold, they are inscribed in the kinos. Vihinam kisuvim al hakinos. What is the Sefer HaKinot in which the lamentation of Yirmiyahu for Yoshiyahu is inscribed? Quote, says the Rav, it is the fourth chapter of Megillas Eicha. So Eicha is five prakim long, five chapters long. The fifth chapter of Megillas Eicha is lamentation specifically for King Yoshiyahu. Eicha yu am zahav, yishna hakesem etov. The gold has dimmed, the finest gold has changed. And Rashi says, and Chazal say, the entire chapter is actually the eulogy that Yirmiyahu delivered for Yoshiyahu. In fact, not only did Yirmiyahu mourn for Yoshiyahu, but so did every prominent and important person. Says the Rav about Yoshiyahu, he was an excellent and outstanding king, one of the most righteous kings of all of Israel. Of course, we're talking about Malchus Yehuda. With the exception of David, King David, there was no one like him. He made no mistakes. He almost never sinned. He was crowned king as an 8-year-old boy, like we learned in Perek Lamed Daled. He was a great scholar. It is significant because the initiative was his. No one showed him the way. No one prompted him. At the age of 8, says the Paiton in the Kinah, he began seeking God of his own accord. By sheer inner inspiration, he was brought to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Paiton in the Kinah praises Yoshiyahu by associating him with Moshe, like we say in the Kinah. None arose like him, meaning King Yoshiyahu, since the days of Avigdor. Avigdor is a reference to Moshe, meaning not since the days of David HaMelech. There was none like him, but even since the days of Moshe, there was no one like Yoshiyahu. And says the Rav, Yoshiyahu surpassed even Yehoshua. He was like Moshe when it came to Malchus. Furthermore, Yoshiyahu completely destroyed Avodah Zarah, idolatry in Eretz Yisrael. He says that Chizkiyahu started the job. Chizkiyahu, remember, there's Yoshiyahu, whose father was Amon, whose father was Menashe. So Yoshiyahu's grandfather was wicked Menashe. His father was Chizkiyahu, so it was his great-grandfather. Yoshiyahu completely destroyed Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. Chizkiyahu started the job, but Yoshiyahu finished it. In this capacity, he purified Eretz Yisrael. And so we understand there was none like him since the days of Moshe. Moshe destroyed the golden calf, the idol of the Jewish people. Moshe's act of destroying the golden calf, the Egel HaZav, and relieving the people of the burden of idolatry is reminiscent of Yoshiyahu desought to destroy and uproot idolatry. So he was a wonderful king, and yet, says the Rav, with all his greatness, he recognized God on his own at the age of 8 years old. He was a great scholar, say Chazal, is quoted by the Rav. In regard to kingship, he surpassed even Yoshua, and he was on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. He uprooted idolatry throughout the land, and yet, says the Rav, with all his greatness, he was killed in the battle at Megiddo. The prophet tells us the Egyptian king, Pharaoh Necho, had declared war on Babel. And he wanted the permission of Yoshiyahu to allow his army to simply cross Eretz Yisrael on the way to Mesopotamia. Today we call that Syria or Lebanon, says the Rav. Egypt would not have engaged Yoshiyahu in warfare. That was not the intention of Pharaoh Necho. He simply wanted to pass through the land. However, what happened? According to the Medrash, Eicha Rabbah is quoted by the Rav. There was a disagreement between Jeremiah the prophet and King Yoshiyahu. The pasuk tells us in Sefer Vayikra, Perachav Vav, Parshas Bechukosai, a sword will not cross your land. Yirmiyahu implied this to mean that in a time of war, a sword shall not cross your land. However, said Yirmiyahu, if you have a friend, you shall support him. If you have an ally, let him cross through your land. Since Egypt at this time was friendly to Malchus Yehuda, Yirmiyahu thought it would be wise for King Yoshiyahu to give peaceful passage to Pharaoh. His opinion was that you should stay with your allies. Pharaoh would neutralize Assyria, who was a very dangerous enemy. Yoshiyahu, however, interpreted the verse to mean, Afilu charev shel shalom, even a sword of peace shall not pass through your land. King Yoshiyahu felt if the sword of a friend or a neutral nation simply passes through the land, just to go somewhere else, this too is forbidden by the verse in Vayikra Chavav Bechukosai. Even if they are your allies, says King Yoshiyahu, do not let them cross your territory to fight another nation. As a result of the disagreement between Yoshiyahu and Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu felt you should let them cross through their friendly nation. Yoshiyahu felt you should not let them cross through because the pasuk says a sword cannot cross through your land. He was not willing to give permission. He was prepared to antagonize Pharaoh Necho. He wanted to be on friendly terms with Bavel. Apparently, expected that by stopping Egypt from crossing Eretz Yisrael, he would gain the sympathy of the Assyrian Empire. However, he did not allow passage, and he was mistaken. He did not, Yoshiyahu, gain sympathy of Assyria, and at the same time, quote, he succeeded in alienating his ally, his friend Egypt, by refusing passage to Pharaoh Necho, by resisting the attempt of the Egyptian army to cross through Eretz Yisrael. Yoshiyahu antagonized and alienated Egypt. As a result, he was involved in the war, and he was killed in the famous battle at Megiddo. And again, the Rav is quoting from our Perek in Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Lamed Hey. Now he quotes Chazal, both from Eicha Rabbah and the Gemara, tell us that his body was punctured like a sieve. It is not just that he was killed in war. His death was more than that. You saw in the pasuk, he says, remove me from the battlefield. I am gravely injured. It was punctured like a sieve. It is to be seen in the sense of a korban, a ritual sacrifice. And that is why his martyrdom reached the highest level. And that's why we have a kinnah for it. He was like a korban ola. Everything is burnt to Hashem. He was a korban ola. Yoshiyahu was punctured like a sieve. And furthermore, the Rav says, Chazal tell us, he quotes Medrash Eicha Rabbah and the Gemara, that when Yoshiyahu was already in the throes of death, the young boys, his servants, tried to overhear what he was whispering. He was moving his lips when he was about to die. He accepted the judgment of God upon himself. And Rav Soloveitchik says it was like the death of Rabbi Akiva. He compares it to the death of Rabbi Akiva. Or Rabbi Akiva accepted the Ol Malchus Shamayim. At the moment of death, Yoshiyahu said, Tzadik hu Hashem ki pihu marisi. God is righteous, for I have rebelled against his words. This is actually a pasuk from Eicha, Perek Aleph, pasuk Yud Ches. At the moment of death, his subordinates, the young boys, leaned close and they heard him saying, Tzadik hu Hashem, said Yoshiyahu, God is righteous, ki pihu marisi, until the last fraction of a second of his life. He sanctified the name of God. His deeds were correct, says the Rav. If Yoshiyahu had no personal sin, why was he punished? If no one was like him since the days of Moshe, why was he killed? He was a great man, says the Rav, a saint. He did everything possible to eradicate idolatry from Eretz Yisrael. The answer, says the Rav, is that he was a sacrifice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded a sacrifice for the sins committed by the people of that time. In spite of all of his accomplishments, the Medrash in Eicha Rabbah says, the people of his time did not completely tear themselves away from Avodah Zarah. They used to hide it, worshipping clandestine behind closed doors. King Yoshiyahu, like any king of Israel, was responsible for the sin of the people. A leader is responsible for the sins and actions of his community. There is no mitigating circumstance that may save a leader from being punished. He should have known they were worshipping in secret. After all, he was a Melech Yisrael. Says the Rav, here one sees how enormous and how frightening is the responsibility of a Jewish leader. Yoshiyahu was held responsible for many things. Responsibility, says Rav, is measured by the greatness of a person. An ordinary person is not held as accountable as a great person. This is true with Yoshiyahu. He was not a prophet. He was not a mind reader. How could he know that some wicked people had their idols hidden away in the attic, in the cellar, or the basement, as per Medrash Eicha Rabbah? But he should have known. A leader has to know. And that's why he was punished. Furthermore, Medrash HaGadol Devarim tells us, according to the Rav, how in his days they found a Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it was rolled up to the words of, "Cursed is one who will not uphold the words of Torah," from Devarim Perachav Zion. "Cursed is the one," said the Sefer Torah they discovered, "who will not uphold the words of this Torah." Yoshiahu felt this referred to him. Even though he had no knowledge of people worshipping idols, he was unable to prevent them from doing so. And he felt he should have known. And yet Yirmiyahu told him, "No, you are not wrong. You are not responsible." But nevertheless, the Talmud Yerushalmi tells us, Yoshiahu rent his clothing. He tore a kriya. He said, "It is on me to establish." He felt it was his responsibility to introduce Torah into Eretz Yisrael. He was the king. He should have been capable. And now the Rav says we see that Yoshiahu was eulogized properly. Like the Pasuk says, Pasuk Chafhei, Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiahu. Yirmiyahu lamented, he keened over Yoshiahu. And he told all the female and the male singers, Bikinosem, in their lamentations for Yoshiahu until this very day. And he put it as a law for Israel. Vihinam ksuvim al kinos. Behold, it is written in the kinos, like we understand, we're referring to Perek Dalet of Eicha. Yoshiahu was eulogized properly. Yirmiyahu expressed appreciation by delivering a eulogy in his honor. Interesting, says the Rav. It is found in the fourth chapter of Eicha, like we already said, according to Chazal, Perek Dalet of Eicha. This perek consists of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If you look in Perek Dalet of Eicha, you'll see that it's in alphabetical order. There are 22 verses. Each verse begins with one letter of the alphabet from Aleph through Tav. Interesting and beautiful, says the Rav. The Baal HaKinah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu postponed or delayed the Churban Beis HaMikdash for 22 years, according to the number of verses Yirmiyahu lamented over Yoshiahu. So for the 22-verse lamentation, the Churban Beis HaMikdash was postponed for 22 years. Again, Eicha Perek Dalet, 22 verses, alphabetical order, mourning and lamentation for King Yoshiahu. And because of this, Churban Beis HaMikdash was postponed for 22 years. Without this kina, without the death of Yoshiahu, as a kapara, says the Rav, the Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed immediately. They wouldn't have gotten 22 more years. Why do we read this kina on Tisha B'Av? Says the Rav, Tisha B'Av is a day of national mourning. Why do we read mourning for one king, Yoshiahu? Says the Rav. The reason is on Tisha B'Av, we mourn not only for the physical destruction of the temple, but for the destruction of an individual, a Gavra Rabba, a great person, because that is as tragic as Churban Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps even more so. The Rav goes so far to say that the book of Eicha would not have been complete without the eulogy for King Yoshiahu. When Yirmiyahu was writing the story of Churban Beis HaMikdash, discussing the destruction of the land, the death of thousands of people, mourning and grieving over a national catastrophe that decimated Knesset Yisrael, Yirmiyahu did not forget to add in Perek Dalet, the eulogy for Yoshiahu. After the first three chapters of Eicha, which describe the national tragedy, Yirmiyahu speaks about the individual, King Yoshiahu, the eulogy for an individual, because, quote, says the Rav, an individual is just as important and as deserving of grieving and mourning and kinos as is the national Churban. When we lose a great man, a great scholar, a great leader, says the Rav, it is just like losing the Beis HaMikdash, and that is what the eulogy for King Yoshiahu teaches us. Says the Rav, if Yoshiahu had not been killed, the Beis HaMikdash would not have been destroyed. If Yoshiahu lived and reigned for many more years, the Beis HaMikdash would not have fallen back into the Malchus Yehuda, would not have fallen back into abominable practices. It would not have become a pagan country. Yoshiahu inspired the people to do teshuvah, revival, return. Had he lived, the Churban would never have taken place. And so, Yoshiahu's death was indirectly the cause of the Churban. And so when we mourn Churban Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av, we must understand the cause. We grieve over the person whose death caused the Churban. And therefore, Yirmiyahu's eulogy for Yoshiahu is incorporated into the biblical canon via Eicha. It is referred to here in Pasuk Chaf Hei, Perek Lamed Hei, of Divrei Yamim Bet. And it's included in the kinos for Tisha B'Av. First, Yoshiahu is an individual. It teaches us what happens to the individuals of paramount importance. Secondly, he was not just any individual. He was a leader, teacher, and king on par with Moshe Rabbeinu. And thirdly, Yoshiahu's death was the prelude, the beginning of Churban Beis HaMikdash. I know I went over time. It was deliberate. I try and stick to my time very, very much, but I thought that this was extremely important, extremely elucidating, and gives great depth and understanding to the events here related in Paraklam at Hay, Yoshiyahu's death when he goes to battle with Pharaoh Necho. I thank you for learning with me, Li'ilui Nishma, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef, Alal Hashem. I wish you a wonderful day, Kol Tov to all.